When I spoke to you a few weeks ago, I tried to be a good pulpit preacher. I tried to stand up there behind the little transparent thing and just stand still. I can't do it. It's just not me. I am never going to make a very good pulpit preacher, but I might make an okay wandering preacher. So today we're really going to continue to look at ways that we can draw closer to God and feel good about it. It's something that's really been on my heart for quite some time, and I think that it is very important for us to consider in our own lives the aspect of drawing closer to God. Now, as you recall, that kind of that theme verse comes out of James chapter 4 and verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And I think, as I stated before, that just at the statement level, oh, that just sounds so comforting. That's a great idea. But remember, in the context of what James is writing to his readers, he is not saying that because, oh, my readers have just drawn so close to God. They are just spot on. I'm just emphasizing what they already do. No. He was giving them a verbal tongue lashing because they weren't drawing close to God. I think it's really important for us to consider what we do in our lives. And these series of lessons, I hope, is presenting some just practical things that we could put into our lives that would help us draw closer to God. Because when you think about it, who wouldn't want to be closer to God? And then, what if we felt good about it? Who wouldn't want that too? So I hope what we can really learn from these lessons are that we can draw closer to God. And we can really feel good about it. And I think there's two starter reasons that we should consider very carefully how important drawing closer to God is. And the first one is, the closer you are to God, the further you are from the devil. Think about that. As you move towards God, you are distancing yourself from the one who will do everything in his power to pull you back away from God. The devil loves it when you are not moving closer to God. The devil loves it when you say, you know what, I'm pretty happy right here. I'm close enough. Or, you know what, I'm not good enough. Therefore, if God is here, I want to go that way. I'm not going to draw closer to him because I am unworthy. Satan loves that. So the more we move towards God, the further we are from Satan. And the second real good starter point is, the closer we are to God, the more we see and understand his love for us. I really think that's true. The closer we draw to God, the more we see his love for us. Last summer, I made the case that we should be in worship at all times. Our lives are to be this living sacrifice to him, drawn from Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. It should be our daily lifestyle where we choose to sacrifice a life of service to him versus two other things that could be going on in our lives. And the first one is that we just aren't doing anything. And the second thing is, we are just expecting to be served. A life of service is just not equal to doing nothing or expecting to be served. You know, today's practical tip is really based on the idea that we need to be love in action. More importantly, I would say we need to be faith in action. It's wonderful to have a strong faith. It's wonderful to believe. But back to James. Here we go with James again. I think it's in chapter 2 and verse 19. He reminds us that even the demons believe. Even the demons have a faith and they shudder. So there has to be more to it to be in alignment with God than just having a belief. We need to have a faith that is in action, and our lives should be that sacrifice to God. Let's go to James and pick up a couple of verses that really talks about this faith in action. I want to start in James chapter 2, verse 14. What use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of us says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Got a couple of other references that really go along with that. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. I'm going to start there. 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. We know love by this, that he, being Jesus, laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Now let's go to the words of Jesus. Let's go to Matthew 16, please. Matthew 16, he's talking to people who would follow him, who desired to follow him. Isn't that us? We are Christians. We call ourselves by that name because we are committed to following somebody. We are known by his name, Christ. We're Christians because we have said that we would follow him. And here's what Jesus says about followers of him. Then Jesus said to his disciples, beginning in verse 24, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? All of these are wrapped up in serving others, meeting needs, faith in action. If our actions, if all of our worldly time is spent on things that maybe even the world tells you, those are good, those are profitable, those are right, but they are not in the vein of service to God's kingdom, what use are they? I find it interesting when Paul was before the governor Festus and King Agrippa and Bernice in Acts 26, he confronted them about the facts of Christianity. He said, surely you know that the things that you are hearing about Christians were not done in a corner. King Agrippa, you know of what was said about Christ. And the things that you are now seeing with those that follow him are evident because they are not being done in a corner. If we were to give an account of our lives as Christians, could we say, surely you have seen these works because I have not been doing them in a corner? Now I get it. We are not to be boastful and saying, look at me, look what I have done. But there is no getting around what Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew 5 and verse 16, is there? Let your light shine before men that they would see your good works. That's faith in action. Why? Not to bring the glory on the people doing the works, but to glorify the Father who is in heaven. We need to be people who are faith in action. You know, our faith in action may be to do something, or it may be to stop doing something. Let me give you a to-do in action. I think we need a to-do that we need to have fuller trust in our Father when we go to him in prayer, that he will guide us into what we need to be doing. Sometimes I think that we are hesitant in our prayers to God about, use me, Lord. A to-do is to have fuller faith that he can use our lives as unconfident as we can be in our faith, as worthless as we think we are before God. I tell you what, we were created to serve. And he can use us if we will go to him in prayer with full faith. That is a to-do. A to-do may be to stop doing something. And that stop doing something, maybe we need to stop sinning. In his letter to the church in Corinth, Paul is very concerned that some of the people had stopped or never even really believed fully in the resurrection of the dead. That when people died, they were going to be resurrected by God. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, we sometimes go to verse 33, and we use that as this, all right, this real warning about who we hang around with, because bad company corrupts good morals, right? But it's really the verse after that, where we have a couple of Paul's punchlines in verse 34. He says, come to your senses. That's a to-do. and stop sinning. That's the to-do that we need to stop. Because folks, we cannot draw closer to God if we willfully, with knowledge, stay in sin. I think there's another thing that would draw us closer to God if we would stop doing. We need to stop telling God that we can't do something. Have you ever said, God, I can't do this? In fact, maybe we've even said, God, I'm not going to do this. And we put our hands on our hip like this when we tell him. I caution you to not do that with God. He may teach you a very valuable lesson. But he can use us when we quit saying, God, I can't do this. Those are a couple of important to-dos. Or maybe, like I said, maybe it's important that we stop doing. I'm going to read this every lesson in this series. I commit to you, I will read this phrase every lesson. Our faith in action is a journey without a finish line on this side of eternity. This drawing close to God isn't something we listen to today, do tomorrow, and we are done. Yet it has deep value for all of us to keep on this journey throughout our lives. Now, this faith in action is actually getting me closer to our practical tip of the lesson. But to get there, I want to bring out a phrase I think we in the church use in error. And it's actually a phrase that Katie Miles used absolutely correctly a few nights ago on Wednesday night in our Bible study. We make a mistake when we say full-time ministry and we apply it to our paid preachers. That is not the right definition of full-time ministry. I think that's a worldly view. Oh, look, there's our ministers. Yep, they're in full-time ministry. Katie's comment, spot on, was she said, we are all in full-time ministry. Christians are always in full-time ministry. It is what we are called to do. So I just don't think that we can look at those on our payroll and say, all right, those are the people in full-time ministry. Let me give you an example of some full-time ministry. When we raise our children under God's banner, that is full-time ministry. When we take care of our aged parents, remembering what God said about honor your mother and father, that is full-time ministry. When we fight every day against an addiction that Satan wants to keep us there, and we're fighting against it, we're not getting involved in those things that draw us into that addiction again, we are in full-time ministry. I want to give you a couple of very personal examples from this congregation. And you may think, oh, I hope he's not talking about me. You're safe today because I'm going to talk about two ladies who are already on the other side of the cross. First one is Joyce Vars. Dear sister that attended here for many years, and she battled cancer for many years too. And I think as she knew that as she neared neared the end of that battle, she moved from here back out to Indiana to be closer to her daughter and that family there. Let me tell you what Joyce's full-time ministry was. Throughout all those years of cancer, never heard her say a negative word. She was always positive about what was going on. But here was the kicker. No matter what was going on in her battle, it was always, God's got this. Do you know how encouraging that can be to others to know that here is a woman of faith that is battling a deadly disease? It's been up and down, but even when she really figured out, I don't think the miracle's coming, God's got this. Back in 2015, we lost another dear sister, a matriarch in this congregation for many years, Mary Miller. Mary Miller, towards the end of her days, could not do what she was going to, you know, in her 80s, she couldn't do what she did when she was in her 20s and 30s. But she had a full-time ministry. If it was your birthday in this congregation, you got a card and you got a call. And even if you weren't there, that voice message was the happy birthday song. For many of us, that might have been the biggest and best present that we ever got, was to hear Mary Miller sing us happy birthday. That's full-time ministry. It all counts. That's what we're doing. And if you really want to look at it from a salary perspective, you bet we're getting paid for being in full-time ministry. It's called eternal salvation with God in heaven because of what Jesus has done for us, right? Amen? We are in full-time ministry. I think about what Paul wrote to the Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That should be our view of full-time ministry. So finally, to the practical tip, hey, it's free. And you can do this regardless of age, gender, or social economic background. I suggest that when you wake up in the morning, you say this phrase, and more importantly than say it to yourself, you commit it with your proclamation to God, I am in full-time ministry. At the end of the day, whenever your day ends, for me it's about 8:30. For some of you, maybe it's a little bit later than that. Tell yourself again and tell God, I am in full-time ministry. And you may be saying, that is a really simple and silly tip, Jeff. I'm not sure that's very practical, but let me explain where I come to this. You may feel that you are not worthy. You may fear failure. You may feel not confident that I can do anything for God. And sometimes, maybe you get too involved in the world. I think all of those things have us forgetting that we are in full-time ministry. And maybe by saying this little phrase, maybe you have to say it multiple times a day, when times are really good to keep us humble, God has blessed us, to times when it's very, very difficult and you don't know what steps to take. This simple phrase, I am in full-time ministry, reminds us about who we are. I want you to try it for 30 days. Just give it a try for 30 days. Because I believe fully that with this phrase in your mind, when you start the day and end the day, God is going to answer a prayer about how you can best serve him. I understand that it's a bit scary, because all of those things that I said, you know, sometimes we feel powerless, unworthy, failure, I feel them too. Sometimes I get too involved in the world. It's things like this, about remembering who I am, that pull me closer to God. Well, you may ask, how do you feel good about using this small tip? Well, I'll tell you something. Every journey starts with a first step, a first move. You can feel good about making this first step to remind yourself and to God that you're willing to go on this journey about being in full-time ministry. And, you know, thank you for those that are on that journey. I know some of you are just faith-based people that every day wake up and you do this already, whether you say it or not. Thanks for being an encouragement to me. Thank you for helping equip others, because it matters in God's kingdom. I hope that you're willing to share. One of the things that our mode of worship lacks from 9:30 to 10:30 is the sharing. Oh yeah, I'm sharing. It's just tough to hear what's going on in your life, because you know what encourages me is when I hear what's going on in your life. When I hear your struggles and your victories, it helps me with my struggles too. So if something's working in your life on your faith victory, on your faith journey, if something happens out of this phrase, I am in full-time ministry, would you let me know? Text me, email me, call me. I would love to share that. It can even be anonymous, but I think others are built up when you are built up by being in full-time ministry, and I would love to share any of those stories. You know, finally, I think that it is such a blessing to be close to God, to be unconditionally close to God, because we have removed the barriers. Because let's face it, he's already removed the barriers. The only thing that stands in the way of getting closer to God is us. Satan may tempt you into thinking that he is the barrier. He's more behind you trying to pull you. He's not the barrier in front of you. Don't let him pull you back. And there's nothing in this world that stands between you and salvation. If you are not a Christian, you can be even today. Don't let the past, don't let your sin, don't let your doubts keep you from becoming a Christian. Well, what's a Christian? A Christian is somebody that God has added to his kingdom. And the preacher, the minister, the shepherd, the elders, your best friend, any name that you want to attach to a person, they do not add you to God's kingdom. God accepts you into his kingdom when you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you say, yes, I acknowledge Jesus as my Savior, He is God's Son, and I believe that He died on that cross, and by God's power and plan was resurrected, and Christ lives today, and I am willing to be forgiven of my sins by being baptized, by going under the water, dirty, and coming up spiritually clean with the gift of the Holy Spirit. That can be yours today if you are willing to accept the gospel of Jesus. The lesson is yours today. I'm going to lead us in a prayer, but there is a faith in action part two that I'm going to get to right after our prayer. Will you pray with me, please? Lord God, we humbly come before your throne knowing, acknowledging, stating clearly that you are the great I am. You are our creator, and we pray, Father, that we would listen to the prayer that Jesus taught. Father, thy will be done. Will we allow ourselves, Father, to be faith in action, to consider what your will is, even if that's challenging for us, Father, even if it's something that's difficult to do because our lives are messy, and we ask for your forgiveness, Father. We really do when we aren't drawing close to you, when we let the past or the things that are just really encumbering us with the ways of the world, when that is keeping us from getting close to you, we are sorry, Father. We pray for your wisdom and guidance and encouragement from your church, brothers and sisters that can help us move closer to you. We just want that, Father, in our lives. We love you. We pray that you would remind us that we are in full-time ministry because we are yours. There was one who paid a debt that we cannot pay. He paid it. He did not owe it, because we owe you everything, and that was Jesus, your Son. In him we rest, and in his names we pray. Amen. I want to do a quick faith in action part two. So Rod has mentioned at least once, maybe a couple of times, about the struggle that the church in Cape Town, South Africa is going through. Aiden brought it up again in our small groups. And if you have been getting our daily prayer email, those daily prayers come from really heartfelt prayers that right now Mary Gaddy puts together. They are so awesome, Mary. I thank you for that, because they are deep. They are convicting. They are filled with love. And they are filled with challenge. And in those prayers, she has frequently mentioned about the struggles that go beyond the city of Billings, beyond what's happening right here in this congregation. And so we were thinking about the church in South Africa and the struggles that they are going through. And I tell you, we can help. We can be faith in action. So here's an idea that I want to present the congregation with. If you go to the church website, just drag that over there if you would, Cameron. And if you go to members, and if you go to that second little link, Help the Church in Cape Town. We have asked the closest thing that they have to their full-time minister over there. He's actually got another job. His name is Mark Russell, but we have asked him, where are the real challenges with individuals? So this just isn't like, here's some money, do with it what you will. Mark responded with individual families and the struggles that they are having. Folks, there is no stimulus money coming to these people. And these stories, these accounts that Mark has provided for us, they are individual, they are specific, and they are in need. There's about six of them listed up there, and I have a proposal for this congregation. I propose that this week we help them. So if you go to this, members, and look at that, it tells their story. Mark's a good writer. He makes the case for the needs. And of those five or six cases there, I am suggesting that you consider how you might be able to sponsor one of those needs. And I think group collectively together, we might be able to contribute a little bit, and together we would meet one of those needs. Listen, I know within this congregation, one of the things that we have been really focused on is mask or no mask. I'm not saying that that's not still an important topic, but wouldn't it be nice to focus on something else for a little bit? Wouldn't it be nice to find something where we could band together in unity and live the scriptures that we read that we are called to do to help a brother and sister out in need, let's do that together, right? Let's do that together. So here's the deal. If this week, if you can commit something to help one of these needs, you can talk to Rod, myself, or Catherine Treat, who is I'm just going to say it, she is, in effect, our deaconess of finance, right? And either provide the funds or tell her that you will provide the funds and we'll make it good with your commitment. And then what I propose that we do is we get those sponsors, multiple sponsors for somebody that has a need. We want to put your family name up there. Not the amount, just the family name that says, look at all of the people that we're trying to help here. Not so that we get the glory, but people know that we are working to help others. I would love it if a little 9-year-old came up and said, here's a quarter, Mom and Dad. I want to give it to this. I would love to put their name up there. Wouldn't that just be awesome? You know, that would be so fun to see what this church is doing. And Rod and Catherine are going to make sure that those funds get to those people just as quickly as we can. And when you read that, these needs are pretty immediate. If you have questions about this effort, please talk to Rod or I. We tried to do a job of explaining what we're looking to do, but this congregation has stepped up so many times before to help people out. This is an opportunity to help out God's church. Let's pray again, please. Father God, we thank you for everything that you do for us. You are awesome and gracious, Father, and we know that you have blessed your church here. And whether, you know, people are listening to us online this morning or whether we're here right now in the auditorium, we know, Father, that there is a need. And it's a need where several of us can help meet that. And to you, Father, goes the glory for the gifts that you have given us that will allow us to be a blessing for others. We want to do this, Father, to help your church and really let our light shine. And so that people halfway across your creation know that they're being cared for, that we hear what they're going through. Just like when Paul went to get funds to help the famine back in Judea from 1 Corinthians 16, Father, we know that people set aside funds and that it was brought back to them. Father, we pray for that same type of giving hearts, Father. And I am confident and I thank you that we have such a loving congregation here. May we continue to be a light for you. And in Jesus' name, we pray. Hope you have an awesome day. And I hope you go out and really realize that you are in full-time ministry. Thank you.